The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. The list goes on and on. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's my friend Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
No, not much.
Not a hair out of place. Look at you.
Yeah, good hair day. Good hair day. It's going to be a good show, Gil.
Good hair day from Kelly. I'm excited. I always like a Wednesday show in the middle of football season because we're not as hamstrung to the games behind us and the games forward.
Yeah.
So we get to like clean up stuff we missed.
Get to clean up stuff. Yeah. We can do a little bit more, some fun segments, dig into some stuff a little bit more. I'm with you. Yeah.
That's right.
Every day is a different feel during football season.
That's right.
That's what I like about it. Yeah.
That's right. It's like every season of The Wire. Same thing. Maybe not.
Overrated show.
What?
Yeah, I know. We've argued about this so many times.
Oh my God.
It's a good show. It's not a really great show.
I don't think I've ever heard you use that word with The Wire.
Yeah, you've called me out. This is probably the third time.
This your power ranking drops severely when you say that. that's for another day and show. Oh God. Coming up, Mark Borchardt on baseball, Paul Carr on the Champions League.
The Champions.
It's the number one champion sound. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Now, do I have to ask him about Skeens and Merrill? Do I? Maybe. Jason wants you to know he'll make money either way, though. We'll get to Jason Weingarten talking baseball and beyond, all his bets. I wanted to start. Oh, by the way, we're also going to do teasers today. We're going to do Survivor Strategy, which you like to refer to as the former President Bush Survivor Strategery.
Strategery.
Yeah,
I like
we'll
it.
Do that.
Strategery.
I am very focused on Survivor this week. I think I have further narrowed it down, but we'll get to that.
I actually can't wait to talk to you. Every week I like talking it through with you, but like I don't feel like I feel like this week we haven't hit on it as much already week.
I said I got three. It's between three.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Like we had Todd Wright on yesterday and others who have given their others on Twitter who have given their like top five. And one of my top two or three is not on there. So I'm like really curious as to why that is.
The one that Todd referenced yesterday?
Yeah, the one that Todd referenced. Yeah, we'll get into that. I want to start, though, because yesterday I made a bet and I want to share because that's what we do. We share. And it wasn't. Remember, we had two baseball discussions yesterday. We had one with Will Hill, which we also sent a clip out on Twitter about, which was, you know, should you bet Skeens and Merrill right now for National League Rookie of the Year? He said yes. That he thought there was still value on Paul Skeens. But that isn't what I ended up betting because when we were talking about it with Will on air yesterday, it was plus 310 at DraftKings. When we got finished with it, it had dropped a little bit at those locations, like a DraftKings, like a FanDuel. Here in town, it was never that. Here in town, it was about plus 220 was the most that I saw. And then by the time we got to it, it was about plus 205. So I was like, okay, it's plus 205. I'm relying on humans for an award. Plus, we have to wait till like Thanksgiving for it. Not quite, but almost.
I always forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, I don't know if this is a very attractive bet from where we're standing. So I didn't bet that one. But we did have a conversation that was a little more low key yesterday with Paul Sporer about the Detroit Tigers. I brought up that the Tigers, while we've been, you know, watching because we have this Braves bet, Braves to miss the playoffs. By the way, now the Braves two games behind both the Diamondbacks and the Mets. We're winning this VSiN contest, baby.
That's right. That we don't know if it's still going and we don't know what we get if we win.
How many people do you think will still be talking about this VSiN contest when we win it? The answer is nobody but us. We have to get Dave Ross to get the actual. But anyway, if the Braves miss the playoffs, so we've been focused in on that. But the Tigers are only 1.5 games behind the Minnesota Twins all of a sudden, right? They've been lurking all year, or at least the second half of the season, and now they're a game and a half back. They won last night. The Tigers did. They beat the Royals in extras, and the Twins beat the Guardians 4-1. So both teams won yesterday. So I bet the Tigers yesterday plus 450 to make the playoffs. Now, you can't get plus 450 exactly, but you can get close to that. Plus 380 is out there. I still think that's a good bet today. And what this comes down to is, yes, they're a game and a half back. Again, if you look at the remaining schedule, and now with the Tigers getting one additional game against the Royals past them, now it's in the rear view, one additional game, the Tigers have, at this point, the third easiest schedule remaining in the baseball season. They have 10 games left, as do the Twins have 11 games left, but the Twins' schedule is a little more difficult. But they lose also, the Tigers lose the tiebreaker, with the Twins. You have to be aware of tiebreakers at this point, too. The Twins beat the Tigers in the season series 7-6. So if they end up tied, we lose on the Tigers. But the whole bet here is the Tigers get three against the White Sox. They get three against the Rays. They get three against the Orioles, which is considered their hardest opponent. And I would argue if you seeded the 12 teams in the playoffs right now, which I get we don't do because there's two leagues, but if you did, I would argue the Orioles would be the 12th seed right now. They are just not a good baseball team as currently operating. So I, you know, and then there's the one game remaining against the Royals. So I do think that you, so you're going to have to eclipse the Twins here by two games in the loss column at this point. And I do think the Tigers with that schedule are capable of doing it. And they certainly have the schedule laid out. So at plus 450, and I do believe at plus 380, that to me is a bet. And you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. You just have to wait till the end of next week to find out if you win or lose. So that was the...
That's end of regular season?
End of regular season. That's to make the playoffs.
Is next week?
Next Sunday.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, we're now.
So we're getting down to it, man. But there's still, I mean, I guess there's still what, 5-6 teams in the mix here for that AL wild card.
Seattle's been lurking. I guess they're mathematically alive.
Yeah,
still. I
mean, they're three back.
Boston is mathematically alive.
Yeah,
Boston's
they're five
alive.
Back.
They're not
yeah,
there.
That's kind of why I went 5-6. Yeah,
yeah. By the way, do you want to flash up real quick the Major League Baseball September and best record standings?
Yeah,
want to do that real quick for the month of September. It's a bit of a log jam. Again, I had the Diamondbacks. They're not close. The Diamondbacks are losing games to the Rockies, for God's sakes. Is there, a lot of these teams are sort of staggering into the postseason. The Diamondbacks are. The Orioles are. Not staggering, but they're just not playing great baseball. Here, Mets and Phillies, both at 11-4 after wins yesterday. Tigers and Reds. The aforementioned Tigers and the Reds are 10-5. Guardians 10-6. And then you have the Padres and the Yankees, both with 9 wins. Padres 9-5, Yankees 9-6. And then best record in baseball. I'm going to lose all these Diamondbacks first seed and best record in baseball. They're even off the charts now. The Phillies 91-60, a 2-game lead over the Dodgers. If you bet this market for best record in all of Major League Baseball, again, either 10 or 11 games left, depending on the club.
Man, we're finally down to six teams on this graphic.
Oh, yeah, I had to
what
shed.
What an incredible run that was for...
Oh, they were so close to each other for so long, like 10 teams deep.
It was wild.
But now, finally, that leaderboard is shedding. Even the Padres are six back. They're 5.5 back. They probably shouldn't be on there. But it is a race between the Phillies, Dodgers, Yankees, Brewers, and Guardians, who have kind of, lingered at the top all season long.
Biggest, what's the biggest surprise team to you this year? Is it the Guardians without
not,
a doubt?
Not to no? me, because okay. I had them, yeah, as you know, say, in March, April, and May, I had them rated higher than most, and I was betting them.
And Padres you had over on win total, but I mean,
kind of, yeah, and I had Padres I had over on win total, so that wasn't a surprise. So nothing there to me.
The Cubbies?
I would say that the Mets, who are just off screen, are probably the most surprising to me, probably. The other thing we didn't get to yesterday was one of the NFL awards, right? We went through a few of the NFL awards. We went through MVP, and I believe we went through Rookie of the Year. We didn't go through Offensive Player of the Year, which might be the most interesting of all of them at this point in the National Football League. Got a text this morning, by the way, Saquon Barkley and CeeDee Lamb, thanks guys, are the co-short shots. Both are 7-1. The Vikings, Justin Jefferson, who had to leave the field the other day, is 11-1. Breece Hall and Bijan. Bijan was great the other night, by the way. 14-1.
Yeah.
Then it's Nico Collins, who we discussed. He's at 17-1. And I got a tweet that when Bet Bash was going on, our buddy Drew Dinsick, who apparently is having a beautiful vacation in the Greek Isles this week.
Please tweet more pictures.
More pictures, Drew.
Drew, yeah. That's not making us all hate you.
He did deep dive. Part of Spanky's Bet Bash was that guys did their podcast live during Bet Bash, and Drew did deep dive with Andy Molitor live at Bet Bash, and he gave out Nico Collins Offensive Player of the Year at 66-1. So okay. he was all over Nico, if you believe in that. Nico's now 17-1. And then I got a text this morning from Michael Montesano, who was the Circa Booby Prize winner. He just bet Alvin Kamara at 20-1.
I mean, from what we're seeing through 2 weeks, that's the name that jumps off this graphic. It's I was listening to Adam Levitan a little bit on the way in on his latest podcast from Establish the Run talking about Kamara. And it's just, I don't know who really would have seen this coming. I know that we're going to have Jason on later in the show. And you know, he even kind of convinced me too with, hey, Taysom Hill's going might be more involved in the offense this year.
Jason loves Taysom.
Well, and they still got Jamal Williams there. And it's been like through two games, it's just been Alvin Kamara doing Alvin Kamara things from like 4 years ago that we haven't really seen much.
Well, part of this was when we were doing the preview of the Saints. Right, the great Aaron Schatz saying how he thought they were good, just boring, and so it takes people off the scent of the Saints. Say that a few times fast. But Kamara, who leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage and touchdowns through 2 weeks, we pointed out when we were doing that preview that it's now Clint Kubiak as their offensive coordinator, and Kubiak is using Alvin Kamara, kind of like you would use Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
So. That to me, I would endorse as the best bet on the board. And this is one of those things where it's like, well, I'd rather have done this segment after I bet it kind of thing, but sometimes we don't get around to it. And Kamara 20-1 now for offensive player of the year. That feels like the best bet. I will tell you why, because I don't think Saquon, as good as Saquon is, I don't think that Eagles offense is going to allow him to get it.
Man, that is
in the end.
I did catch a stat on him yesterday, though. Back-to-back 95-plus yard rushing games for him for the first time since 2019.
Yeah. There's also the wear and tear part of that. Yep. You wonder if, you know, running back like him could hold up like that. I liked Breece Hall as a possibility before the season, but I don't know. That Jets offense not really steamrolling at this point. Let's put it that way.
That was my favorite bet preseason. I didn't bet it. Like, do you have any bets in this market?
I do not.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. I know we did the draft, the awards draft, where he was a hot name in. I didn't end up betting him, but I'm with you. With the start that they've had, I'm not rushing to bet him right now either, right around the same number.
I would say Kamara, as you said, jumps off the screen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is it Kamara or Kamara? Have we decided?
Kamara. I thought it was Kamara.
I'm going Kamara.
I'm actually pretty sure he said it's fine either way. But
sort of like you're a Grillo golfer. That's fine. You Americans pronounce it any way you want. Survivor, next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and for a limited time, you can get your first month of VSiN Pro for just $9.99. Sign up now. You'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits. Start a monthly subscription today. Get your first month for only $9.99, or bet smarter through the entire NFL season with our football special for just $175. Don't miss out on these limited time offers, though. They are limited time offers. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe and become a better. That's a better. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Good, bad. If they're bad, just be funny. We'll still read them as long as you're being funny.
I got one for you, too.
This is from Brosek 1870. All this Bryce Young stuff from yesterday is all Lovie Smith's fault. That 2-point conversion there will change the NFL forever. What he's referring is remember
what an amazing moment in history.
Lovie Smith's final flipping of the bird Houston Texans.
He was already fired, right?
It was already known that he would be fired. They had no reason to win this game. And yet they, like, it was Davis Mills who engineered remember there was like two fourth down conversions on the game winning drive.
Winning the game would only hurt the Texans' draft position.
And it did. Then they won. And what he's referring to is that changed NFL history forever, right? Houston ends up with a second pick and, you know, Carolina then ends up taking Bryce Young number one. And Houston gets Stroud, right, to fall in their lap. Although, you know, if Houston had the number one pick, would they have taken Stroud?
They were going
Stroud
regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the only thing it changes is how much they had to trade, I guess. less to trade.
King's ransom. RB Treff, just to follow Visa. One of the many things I love about the show is that you can talk factually about Bryce Young performing terribly while not disparaging him as a human. In fact, you rightly wish him the best. Well, we try to not be that kind of person on the show. So thank you for that. It's very kind.
Yeah. This is not ready for the NFL. I wish he gets another. I hope he gets another opportunity. Yeah. Who knows if it happens?
Hope so. DGFL9. Love my Baxter. Thanks for the shout out, Gil. See you at the finish line, buddy. Love my Baxter. I believe was a Survivor winner a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
So all he's right. looking to have a second title. Tom Collins, one of the best shows that you can listen to or watch, talking about a numbers game. Thank you, Tom Collins. That's very kind. Don't worry. There's bad ones coming. We included bad ones. Sal Sports. This is Sal Capaccio, who I believe is a Bills reporter. This is really good. Oh, talking about the explanation of the Sirianni debacle yesterday in the Eagles-Falcons game. He said, this is really good. No hot takey screaming, et cetera. Very well explained and laid out about last night's decision-making. A lot of points of discussion from the clock management to play call to field goal decision to Eagles getting the ball back. Thank you, Sal. That's very nice of you. This is from Tony's Markets Tips. Oh, this is a Survivor update after the Eagles-Falcons game. 23 with 10 entries. So again, we have fewer than 4,000 left in a pool that started with over 14,000 entries. 23 people still have all 10 entries. 4 with 9, 8 with 8, 10 with 7 entries left, 18 with 6, and 47 folks still have 5 entries.
Yeah, I guess the part I'm most curious about is how many people bought in for 10 this year.
Yeah, we don't have that. But that's courtesy of Tony's Market Tips via Survivor Atlas. I want to give Survivor Atlas the credit there. Laws for words. Okay.
Yes, best tweet we've gotten in a long time.
So I didn't get this one because this was in response to VEASAN account clip, part of the clip. So for all the praise, Laws for Words says about my explanation. He goes, says the guy who's probably never even coached Pop Warner, whatever.
I said this.
First of all, Laws for Words, let me explain to you the amazing run we had at Maplewood in Bethesda, Maryland. You have no idea what a great coaching job I did there.
By the way, I sent this to you yesterday. Yeah. I just started creating a list of jobs that every sports talk host needs to have on their resume.
Yes.
A year of med school.
Yes.
Pre-law would be good. Coach a year of Pop Warner, apparently.
Yeah, got to.
I'm going to go with referee every high school sport. So when we complain about refs, we have that insight. And I'm sure I'm missing 5 other things. But
It's so great because that argument can apply to anything, right?
Like, right.
Kelly. No more hip hop opinions from you until you put out a hip hop album. You were slandering KRS-One over the break. I just can't take it until you have your own album. EH Bills fan. And this is, by the way,
thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
That's really all we care about.
Lost for
you
words.
Can rip on us all you want.
I appreciate you hanging on my every word nonetheless. EH Bills fan. The Bills are the new Lions this year. He goes, totally agree. The show and Gil and Kelly are fantastic. Gil does think the Bills are frauds, however, ranked out of his top 10.
See,
sorry.
As the Bills defender of this show,
you are.
This is I still haven't seen enough, Gil. This is there are concerns about this defense still. 2 big wins, like we talked about. Tua leaves that game on Thursday night. You're not going to argue starting off the season 2-0. There's still concerns though for me with this team long term. But gotta love what they've done so far, and they got the Superman quarterback.
They banked 2 wins.
I almost said best quarterback in the league.
I caught you
almost
leaning into it.
Second best.
Is your number one Anthony Richardson, knowing you?
No, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, I'm curious. All right. Survivor. Want to talk some Survivor strategy?
Let's do it.
Week 3. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate that.
That works.
Yeah, well done. thank you, B. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Michelle. What happened to the original 2 girls? That's another show. Here's the thing. I said yesterday I've narrowed it down to 3. I've narrowed it down to... And let's show a list of big favorites here. Let's do it this way. All right, Jets Thursday night, 6.5-point favorites against the New England Patriots. I don't trust that.
No, not at all.
The Patriots have been feisty. I don't trust that as a Survivor play. Let me skip the Buccaneers for a second. Let me skip the Browns. Let me go to the Raiders. Now with Andy Dalton now quarterbacking the Panthers, I don't trust the Raiders. Seahawks against the Dolphins, I certainly don't trust that even a Skylar Thompson-led Dolphins team can't come up and beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I don't trust the Seahawks.
I think that's one of those situations. I trust Seattle a fair amount, Gil, but like that's one. I don't know if you want to mess around with that, what you just said, and then there's probably better spots to use Seattle going forward.
Better spots.
Yep.
Speaking of better spots, the Niners are 7-point favorites on the road against the Rams. I don't think you should use the Niners without Christian McCaffrey, without Debo Samuel. And I get it, the Rams are a mash unit beyond belief.
Yeah, Niners kind of are.
But the Niners, you get the Rams at home. You get other teams at home. I think the Bears, they play at home. I want to say there's somebody else easier that they play at home as well. The Niners. So it's like, it's not the most organic spot to play the Niners. Let's put it that way. And then the last one on that list that I want to just throw out, the Bills, your Bills, who we just talked about. Sorry, Bills fans. I don't trust the Bills against the Jaguars, mm-hmm. nor do I against the Jaguars, if you pronounce it that way. I don't, because I think the Jaguars are one of these teams that are super unpredictable.
Yes.
And could very easily, if they won that game, would anybody be surprised?
No, not at all.
Nobody would be surprised. So those are my throwouts, to use the horse racing term. The three that I have considered here are the ones that I omitted, which are the Bucks hosting the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, I mean, Bo Nix just cannot throw the ball downfield.
I mean, that's pretty much all you got to say.
And then the Browns, now we talk about organic spots to play a team. Because in the case of the Buccaneers, you could still play them at the Giants. You could still play them at Carolina. You can still play them hosting Carolina. But remember, now that it's Andy Dalton, Carolina doesn't become the free bingo square anymore.
Yeah.
So Tampa Bay hosting the Broncos is a pretty good option. The most organic of all of these, talking about the schedule spot where it's probably the best place to play them given the opponent and home road, the Browns hosting the Giants. And I know people are like, oh, wow, are you really going to trust the Browns? Well, it's 20 weeks if you're to get to the promised land, assuming it would go all the way, which is a big assumption, but you get the idea. The Browns hosting the Giants is the spot to play the Browns in terms of their schedule. And then that's the most organic. But the one that I would feel the most comfortable with heading into the week, and this is the one where no one else seems to agree with me, is I love the Bengals as a survivor play over the Commodes on Monday night. And I get a lot of the feedback I'm getting is, oh, I don't know. You trust the Bengals? Bengals aren't going 0-3 against this outfit, to use Chrissy's word, my mishpoka. As good as Jaden Daniels has been, and good is in quotes because a lot of it is just tucking the ball and running, he has not even met Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin, let alone targeting him, right? He's like, they should probably meet in practice at some point. And the defense is a sieve. So, and I know the Giants only, quote unquote, scored 18, but they only lost to the Giants, the Commodores did, because they didn't have Graham Gano. Yeah. So to me, it's the Bucks, it's the Browns, or the Bengals. Browns most organic, Bengals most comfortable. Even though you do, I think, have other opportunities to play the Bengals.
But I completely agree with you.
Oh, thank you.
Those are, I was a little squeamish beginning of the week thinking, because I think immediately I went to Browns and Bengals. And the one kind of thing holding me back in my mind was, unfortunately, I think I'm going to go with one of those two. It's going to, at least in one of my picks, it will definitely be one of those two. The one thing holding me back, though, is I just don't think, unfortunately, I don't think you're getting the Bengals or the Browns at their ceiling of where we're going to see them this season.
100%.
That's the only natural, I think, hesitation that you have in a pick like that. But
of the ones I didn't mention, Bucks, Browns, Bengals, what's your favorite?
Browns, probably.
No.
Of the ones you didn't mention? Yes. Man, I don't know if I'd consider any of them, but I'll go with I'll go Seahawks.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Survivor, the most fun thing to talk about, and certainly the highest percentage of tweets we get are surrounded by Survivor. We'll come back. Baseball break with Mark Borchardt.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We are grateful. Thank you for making us part of your morning, each and every morning. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer.
Moj bombs.
Yeah, let's teaser time coming up. We're going to have Jason Weingarten on. I'm going to read some tweets. But we got a Woj bomb, and it's the last Woj bomb we're ever going to get, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski has agreed to become the general manager of the men's basketball program at St. Bonaventure, where he went to school. So he's going to his alma mater.
He is
leaving ESPN to become the GM of the men's basketball program. I wasn't aware that there was a GM position.
Me either.
But apparently there is.
Today's world, man.
And he is leaving ESPN. Quote, it's a thrill of a lifetime to be able to return to a university and community that I love in a role of service for our student athletes, coaches, and institution. I am hopeful that I can bring value in a lot of areas to our basketball program and open doors for our young men's futures in ways both professionally and personally. Congratulations to Adrian Wojnarowski. Now now Kelly Bidlin interprets the news.
Sounds like a whole lot more money for a whole lot less work.
And that was Kelly Bidlin interprets the news. It's a new segment we're coming up with there.
You put me on the spot for that. And you agreed too.
I do.
Woj is awesome. He's an amazing reporter. Yeah. And I guarantee you in whatever role he's with in St. Bonaventure's, exactly what he said, he will help those kids in life big time.
He will.
But
I think that his job probably, like the pressure of being first with every breaking story.
So much stress.
I think Shams was getting the best of him a lot. He was, you know, some of the draft stuff was bad for him. But I just think it's a lot less pressure. And he's, by the way, he's 55 years old. He's probably like, wait, less work, more money, or almost as much money, if that's it, whatever it is. Good for him.
He has earned every right, yes. And I mean, this is, with college athletics right now, I mean, this is the Wild West, right? Like, there's so much money out there. We're still figuring out how this is going to work.
Congratulations, Woj. Good job.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you. I mean, this is, opens the door for some NBA reporters. Get your name in the mix.
I do like that segment, Kelly. We should do that more often. And now, it should take, like, the intro and the outro should be longer than your explanation, than your interpretation. That's beautiful.
I feel like I had one earlier this week, too. I've already forgotten.
We had tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jesse Welch. Jesse Welch says, I'm going to need Kelly to produce at least one full season of a critically acclaimed TV drama before giving his opinion on The Wire again. Amen, brother. That's exactly right.
All right, well done, Jesse. That was excellent.
Excellent weaving in of something we were talking about the first segment. Xavier82 Jacob, he says, you got to love it when you tune in for baseball plays and base winner comes in spitting that hot fire at 100 miles per hour with those sunny, 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 can't you see rap lyrics.
You got to make sure you follow him on Twitter because I have you caught recently started tweeting some of these as
well? Yeah. Yes. The best part of that is, though, he says, I rapped it earlier.
Yes, I rapped it earlier. you also can't like
gift. What did you? Oh, rapped it. I see what you mean.
The problem is if you talk to Mark as much as Gil has and even I have, right, you can't read his tweets without hearing it in his voice.
So great.
So like it's actually
do we still have that sounder of him doing the Snoop lyrics?
Like I don't know. Put that on Darnell.
Darnell, this project. This is from Roger Jones. Hey, don't tell Gil, Kelly, but I'm with you on The Wire. Roger Jones, what are you doing?
Nobody wants to admit it. I'll just admit it. That's one of those shows that everybody thinks is so great that it scares away.
Because it is.
But then it scares away people from being to offer up their opinion that they don't think it's quite as great as everybody else.
You should be scared. You know who you're turning me into? The great Brian Ortega, who is
I bet you he's flipping out back.
You're turning me into Ortega. Ortega is our man on the spot when it comes to the Oscars and Emmys betting. And Ortega, famously snobbish about it all, he once told JVT, he goes, you probably won't understand this movie. That's how he said in my ear, he goes, The Wire is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Get Ortega on set. Brian M., it's interesting how Paul Carr said the UCL expanded, the Champions League expanded for more money and more big teams. Kind of sounds like the college football playoff. He says, does that make the Premier League the SEC? Good point. Sky High says, Gil, with all the shows that have been made since, The Wire isn't even top five, he says. Top five. Let's not get crazy. He says, not top five. He says, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Ted Lasso, and the Manning cast. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up about the Manning cast. I failed to mention this yesterday. Bill Belichick, he's not on the Manning cast every week, but he was on the other night. He's on every few weeks, I think. They're also not on every week, as far as I know. But anyway,
I think him and Peyton are doing either a separate show or it's separate segments with they throw in SportsCenter.
He is so good.
Yeah.
So it not only mechanics of football, like the last sequence at the end of the first half when Atlanta had one timeout left, they were driving, they had first and goal. And then Belichick, before the play, he's like, don't run here. Don't run here because then you have to use the timeout and then you're kind of putting yourself in a pickle. That's exactly what Atlanta did. They put themselves in a pickle and they had to kick a field goal. Not just the sort of straightforward football things, but Atlanta had the ball on offense at one point. And just randomly, Belichick, who had gotten shunned by the Falcons front office. Remember, he was supposed to get the job for a second, and then all of a sudden he did, and Raheem Morris got it. At one point, he's like breaking down something in the middle of it. He goes, you know, Falcons love tampering, so that's kind of their thing. And he just keeps going. He could not care less. It's fantastic television.
It's great. Really great. Yeah, I've got a couple of I don't know if it's a segment or a full show they do with him and Peyton kind of like breaking down plays. It's obviously to help promote the Manning cast, but it's well done. I'm with you. He's great. Nobody's talking about him, though, because everybody's too busy talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah, who I think will be great, too.
I feel so bad for that guy. Oh my gosh. I've never seen anybody like get like their performance broken down in a debut on TV as much as Tom Brady.
Tom Brady can teach you more, just like Peyton Manning. They and Belichick, they can teach you more about football in 30 seconds than you've ever known. Tom Brady has something on TikTok or Instagram. Can't remember who he's explaining it to, but it was like how certain quarterbacks don't come into the play having thought of things pre-snap. Mm. And so they end up making a terrible play, which, you know, the announcers will then say, he's talking about other announcers, will be like, well, he had to improvise there. And Brady's like screaming. He's like, no, he should have known pre-snap that was the wrong. I mean, it's just fascinating to get into the mind of not only one of the all-time greats, but perhaps the greatest of all time. We'll get more tweets later. This is World Series exactas. So I have the Diamondbacks versus the Royals in a matchup, not an exacta, in a matchup. Remember, there's the matchup market, and then there's the exacta market, to use the horse racing term, which is the which team has to beat the other team. I don't know that the matchup market exists anymore.
I was just at DraftKings. It hasn't the last couple times I've checked.
Yeah, so I thought I saw the matchup one yesterday with my Diamondbacks Royals being 150-1, but maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe it was an exacta.
I put it that way because the last couple times I've checked on this, it hasn't been up.
Yeah.
But they are constantly pulling these things down.
But just be aware, right? Yeah. Will Hill, Caesars Will Hill, does a great job of having these up more than anybody. So World Series exacta. This is a team to exactly beat the other. The Dodgers beating the Yankees, believe it or not, no surprise, is the short shot, 11-1. And again, I sort of say the most wide open playoffs ever. And then I always tag it at the end by saying, and now watch, this will be the year where the Dodgers beat the Yankees. Yankees beat Dodgers is the second short shot. So the Blue Bloods are there in the betting market are the short shots in this.
I have a question for you right away. Yes, sir. At the top. Uh-huh. If you were interested in either one of those and you didn't have the matchup market available to you, wouldn't you just play the Yankees over the Dodgers? If you were planning on hedging, if you were planning on hedging of any kind, would you play just Yankees over Dodgers and then somehow hedge once it got there? I mean, like the
or you mean other like way
the,
around?
The
you?
Series price wouldn't be that.
I would say you'd play Dodgers versus Yankees and then the Yankees will be the dog.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I know. But is there going to be that? Or would they be that big of a favorite? The Dodgers, right? Would they be that big of a, or the Yankees, would that be that big of a favorite? Sorry, Dodgers. Would they be that big of a favorite over the Yankees to make that a easier hedge or a rougher hedge?
All right, they just confused me. But I, if I'm understanding you right, there is a way, if you so believed in those two teams, yeah. The way I would do it is
take the shorter price.
I would
and
take
the
shorter
hedge
price.
The dog.
The hedge. Yeah. But the problem is I don't believe in those two teams, right? Like I don't think anybody can come into this postseason thinking the Yankees are just so much better than anyone else. I just don't think they are.
I just, in a current, those prices, you can't, right?
If you had to, if I had to choose one, and we got the answer from Borchard. Borchard said Diamondbacks over Guardians. I believe he said it that way.
Yes, I believe so.
So that's not even pictured. So this is the thing. I think if you're betting this, you almost owe it to yourself to take a shot on something that is longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't sound like it. But once we get into the postseason, we will quickly realize this is just free for all. So you almost owe it to yourself to take a couple different long shot thoughts. I actually may do what Borchard did, although I can't. If it's only an exacta, I hate the exactas. I prefer the matchups because I hate to lose these based on a World Series result.
Yeah.
But Guardians, Diamondbacks, Royals, like somewhere in that world, I would stay away from Dodgers, Yankees, and Phillies because I just don't think that's worth it.
Guardians over Diamondbacks, 90-1 at DraftKings. Diamondbacks over Guardians, 100-1.
How can you not bet something like
so
that?
And it's the big thing of, okay, this market will still be up when the playoffs start, right? The odds move on those top couple options is not going to be all that big, whereas this 100-1 is going to become what, 28-1?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, because we already kind of know who's going to get the buys at this point. At least we do in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite. We actually don't know in the National League because it's a three-team race at the top, so we don't quite know. But your point is correct, is that the ones that are not at the top are going to move more dramatically here. So I'm just saying, generally speaking, I would hazard a flyer on some longer shots. And for me, already having the Diamondbacks Royals as a matchup, I would play a Guardians Diamondbacks or a Guardians you know, some people also think the Astros, right? The Astros are playing possum because they're the most veteran of all these playoff teams. Maybe you think it's the Astros. Astros beat Dodgers 25-1. I don't think that's a good enough price. Dodgers beat Astros 17-1. I'd go longer than that. That's the main point. But I wouldn't even, you know, try to impress you with my teams, whatever your team conviction is. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. Front page, homepage, Adam Schein on his week 2 observations, futures bets, and NFL week 3 picks. Mike Somich, the same with NFL week 3 bets and predictions. Adam Burke on college football. Steve Mackinnon with his NFL week 3 betting systems. It's all there. Football and beyond, vsin.com. Check it out. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. And again, I wouldn't read tweets if y'all weren't so awesome with your tweets. It is amazing. The percentage, the rate at which your tweets are awesome and readable on air is staggeringly high. Not stumbling high, but staggeringly high. Which Bill Walsh points out, not that Bill Walsh from the grave, but Bill Walsh points out, he says, stumbling versus staggering, losers in 5 of their last 8, the Royals are stumbling towards the postseason, losers in 18 of their last 28, the Twins are staggering towards the postseason, towards getting past the Tigers. I would agree with that.
Well done. We got that all sorted. We all got that sorted.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Good friend, Shillionaire. Oh, yes. This will come up with Jason. This is the first thing we're going to talk about. Nick Castellanos hit a home run last night, and Jason Weingarten called it. Just thought this should be acknowledged. And then he goes, let's go Austin Wells, which he does every day. We'll get into that with Jason. Johnny Ringo, can we get a Kelly Interprets Presidential Polls segment? That would be radio gold. Yes, it would. Brian M., in that analogy earlier with Paul Carr, who's the Big Ten then? Bundesliga? Logic 3227, Manning and Belichick do a 30-show called The Breakdown, where they go over film of the two teams about to play each other on the coming Manning cast.
Thank you, Logic. That's what I was talking about.
Thank you, Logic. Rick Ollier, making fun of you. He says, list of Kelly's top movies of all time. 1, Juana Man. 2, Gigli. And 3, The Room.
That would be 5 of the Fast and the Furious films. I just don't know which 5.
He said, your worst movies are Godfather and Shawshank. Brandon Webb, not that old baseball pitcher Brandon Webb, but another Brandon Webb. We had a Bill Walsh and a Brandon Webb in this. All-time tweet with Jason last night, Spreadopedia. Jason Weingarten is coming up. Terrorists being blown up halfway around the world. What does Castellanos do? He hits a home run in broad daylight. In broad daylight, he did. Jason called this.
Yeah.
Nick Castellanos hits a home run when something happens worldwide. Okay. Let's talk teasers. Teaser time, ladies and gentlemen, for week 3 in the NFL. Here's our intro.
It's teaser time.
Pretty long.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks. Great voice.
Great voice.
Does Ryan know that
overall, great guy.
Great guy. Yeah. Does Ryan know that he could have a career doing this at radio stations across the country?
Yes, I think he does, because he did that before.
Okay. Did he used to do in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I don't even know where all Ryan worked, but he has had a lot of radio experience in his past.
Would you like it? You can just walk in a room and be like, teaser time, and then walk out. It's awesome. All right, teasers. I have one that I love, and only one that I love. Wong Teaser Legs. Again, Stanford Wong, pseudonym, real name John Ferguson. Many years ago, in his book, talking about what were the most plus EV, plus expected value teaser legs in the NFL, where you could go through the 3 and the 7 was the key. Obviously, scoring has changed. Scoring environment has changed. Analytics has changed the game. A lot of people go for 2 now. They go for it on 4th. So it's a little different. But generally speaking, again, it's home favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5, teased down through the 7 and the 3, and then home and road dogs of between 1.5 and 2.5, teased upward through the 3 and the 7. Note, I did not say road favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5, teased down through the 7 and the 3. That did not qualify as one of the best. Here are the teaser leg candidates, Stanford Wong candidates, that is.
Bengals-ish,
right, because it's also totals dependent, right? Yeah. The main thing is the higher the total, the less value there actually is in it. The lower the total, and intuitively that makes sense, the more value there is in what we're talking about. Bengals are 7.5-point favorites against the Commanders. Niners on the road, so it's not a Wong leg. 7.5-point favorites on the road at the Rams. That should not be a Wong consideration. Cowboys, 1.5-point favorites 1.5 point dogs, pardon me, at home against the Ravens. Eagles, hey, look who guessed the line correctly on Monday and it swung his way. Said the wrong team was favored. Eagles, 2.5 point dogs at the Saints. Chargers, 1.5 point dogs at the Steelers. Packers, 2.5 point dogs at the Titans. And the Vikings, 2.5 point dogs at home against the Houston Texans. I have one teaser that I love here.
And
love.
Yeah, and yes, there are some threes out there on some of these. So just double check those 2.5s if you're...
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Should we start with what I don't like?
Yeah.
Niners at the Rams is not a long leg, nor would I play that.
I have it tied into 2.
Oh, boy.
Because I did it before the Debo news came down. Yeah. I was sitting there right in front of my computer when all of the Rams injury information was coming out, put in bets, and like an hour later, Debo came down. I'm like, hey.
This is, you know, and again, this is the conundrum, not the conundrum, but this is sort of like the problem with betting, right? It's a puzzle that you have to solve. And when it comes to contests, that's why when Fezzik is in here, the reason he waits till the end to submit on his contest up to the deadline is because he wants as perfect information as he can get. And so here's an example. And again, there's a lot of bettors who don't care about that, right? Like Drew Dinsick, for instance, there's so many ways to skin the cat in sports betting. Drew Dinsick likes to bet early before line moves, but you do leave yourself susceptible to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's for betting, it's openers, closers, and then based off injury news. Yep. I thought it was one of those. I thought I was doing the perfect thing, right? I thought this number was about to go to 9, 8.5, 9, all these Rams injuries being more detailed and everything. And then Debo kind of comes out of nowhere. We talked about that a bit on Monday. A lot of injuries kind of under the radar to be careful with this week. Somebody brought up Anthony Richardson. He definitely was limping on that final drive. So, some of these are not going to be talked about too much this week. Just keep them in mind.
Cowboys are tempting, but, I mean, if the Ravens won by 10, I wouldn't be surprised either.
I played them in a leg. I played Cowboys up.
You did.
Yeah. I'm still a little surprised by this line. I think, like, what did you have it on Monday?
I had the Cowboys favorite.
So I thought I matched with you perfectly. I thought it was going to be Cowboys like 1.5, something like that.
I personally believe the Ravens should be favored, but I didn't think the market would have it that way.
Okay.
Eagles, I did get that one right. At the time of guessing lines, I had the Saints as 2.5 point favorites, and the Eagles were favored by 2.5 before they had played Monday night. This is now the Saints favored by 2.5. I don't think the Eagles are very comfortable in any kind of bet right now. And I think the Saints, obviously, it's only 2 weeks, but the Saints look damn good.
Yeah.
Chargers, I certainly don't trust. And then the Packers-Titans falls in this category of, and it is Malik Willis against ill-advised Billy Levis. I don't know how you bet this game. Like, we have a question on the Megapod, by the way, Megapod tomorrow, beating the book. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I with Adam Chernoff. We always ask the question. I always ask the question. What is the game? If you had to bet every single game on the NFL slate on the side, if you lived in a bizarre world, but you got one free pass, for me, it could be the Packers and the Titans. I have no idea. No idea. Titans could be 2-0.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I bet that game. I bet that on the opener, Titans. And then came in for a little bit more. I actually think that I think their rush defense is pretty good. Like you said, they could be 2-0. The Packers, what we saw last week, it's pretty obvious. As long as they can run the ball, they're just going to try to do that.
Lombardi had a great point on the morning line this morning when I was driving in. He was talking about, you know, I don't know what their segment was about, but which quarterbacks have, in some way, they were talking about which have disappointed. Those are my words, maybe not the segment, but he made a great point because of all the bad quarterback play, the only quarterback to absolutely cost his team the game is Will Levis.
Yeah.
Like, you can draw a line from his mistakes to losing those two football games. And as bad as Bryce Young was, right? I mean, he didn't give up 47 points to the Saints, right? So it's like Will Levis is just the most... combustible of all these guys. So I left 2, and that's my favorite teaser. My favorite teaser is teasing the Bengals down through the 7 and the 3 to, you know, what's -1.5. We're talking about 6-point teasers here. Bengals -1.5 versus the commies, the taco holders. And then the Vikings up through the 3 and the 7 hosting the Texans. A Bengals Vikings teaser is by far my favorite teaser of the week.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, Bengals, I like that leg. That's my favorite. That is Bengals, my favorite leg of the week right now to use for teasers. I think there's a lot of these that you could talk yourself into, though. This is like, I understand the Vikings love. I mean, they've been great. I loved them this year, too. I still have the sneaking suspicion that the Texans are quite possibly the best team in the NFL, and I just can't go against them there. The ones that I made were, so what I did, Niners and Cowboys. So Cowboys up, Niners down, and then I did Niners and Bengals is what I did when I was talking about that injury news coming down. I'm with you on the Bengals, though. I'm very okay with the idea of tying them up into one more teaser here. I just don't know who. I don't know anybody right now is really jumping out to me as a must-use candidate for another leg.
Yeah, again, and this is just anecdotal because as we just had reported to us, the Bengals are the most popular survivor play this week by a tick currently. Mm-hmm. In pools where you can actually assess who's submitted already. But just in our little world here and our incoming, it just felt like all we've gotten is, oh, I wouldn't trust the Bengals. And I totally disagree on that. I would totally trust the Bengals here against the Commanders, who, again, have not shown any ability to get into the end zone at all. And I still don't know. Austin Seibert made 7 kicks. I still don't know if he can kick it past 45.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Bengals Vikings, by far my favorite teaser of the week. Jason Weingarten next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.